White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 243.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, and by the book tour for Ken Ringer's Lorindo, and also, of course, because we got our first royalty check, so you people out there are doing something right, for Audible.com. You can check out lots of audiobooks on Audible.com, and we get a little tiny cut of it if you go and sign up at audibletrial.com/AU Wishbone. It keeps the show on the air. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, now that the commercialism is out of the way, how are you doing during this holiday break?
I'm great. I'm doing very well. Had a very nice holiday with the family, and I'm looking forward to some bowl games.
Oh, I've been enjoying bowl. I mean, I have to be honest, like, my wife will say, are there any big games tomorrow? And I'm like, well, define big, right? Because, you know, if like Army versus Louisiana Tech is your idea of big, then yeah. Oh, yeah. But if a game that on a Thursday night in October, you'd rather go like cut the grass or work on the toilets in your daughter's upstairs bathroom than watch, you know, but you slap that word like Cactus Bowl or Weed Eater Bowl or, you know, Military Bowl or something like that on it, and suddenly it has some kind of a panache to it, doesn't it?
Well, and it's also, it's like, it's December.
Yeah.
There's nothing else on, and it's live, and it's also like, it's that feeling that, you know, the sands of college football are ticking out of the hourglass, so we only have so much left, so I'm like, I want to enjoy it all. That's, I want to soak it in.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, that's... It's like the SEC Network commercial where it says, you know, take it all in or whatever. You pretty much have to. I mean, remember we talked about it back in August. I said, it's August now or whatever. I said, you know, the season's going to start in a couple of weeks. We're going to blink our eyes and it'll be half over. Well, we blinked our eyes. It was half over. And now it's the whole season's over except for the last half, I guess, of the bowl game. So we've got like three or four every day this week. And then we've got the big semifinals on what, Saturday, and then
yep.
And then the New Year's Six caps off on Monday night with the glorious Sugar Bowl. I'm so excited about it. I can't stand it. Did you see any of the video of the players arriving at the hotel yesterday? The Auburn players?
I did. Exciting.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They looked excited. They looked ready to go. They were fired up, and they were dancing around. The lady with the umbrella was dancing with them and everything, and the band, this New Orleans band, was playing. I kept expecting somebody to slide up to Rhett Lashley and Lashley say, do I still have that? Oh, yeah, yeah. I expected somebody to slide up to Rhett Lashley and Lashley to say...
Whose funeral is it? Yours.
Oh, come on. I had to use that. It's New Orleans, for crying out loud. We're playing in the Sugar Bowl. So we had to use the, we had to bust out the old Live and Let Die. But speaking of Lashley, I know it's a little further down on your list, but since I brought him up, let's go ahead and talk about it for a minute. What do you think about Lashley and these rumors that UConn are looking at him?
I think it's perfectly legitimate that Rhett Lashley is going to be considered for head coaching jobs at smaller schools, and that part makes sense. I don't think UConn is a good fit for him. I know he has some connection with the AD there. That's why his name is out there. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't recruited that part of the world. And it's also like it's not – UConn is kind of off the radar football-wise. So, I mean, if I was him, like I would – even if they offered it to me, I might hold out because I think – I mean, his name was out there for Georgia State, but like, say a year from now, like the Arkansas State coach gets hired away, that's the perfect job for Rhett Lashley right now. Like something like that, or maybe even he could get a job in the, the American Conference. So there's a bunch of good schools in there, and a higher level school, and I think that could be really good for him. I understand why he's a candidate, and I think he's going to be a candidate for jobs now and in the future, and at some point he's going to leave. But to me, Connecticut doesn't make a lot of sense from a fit perspective, I guess.
Well, I was going to ask you, doesn't the law state that he has to go to Arkansas State?
I guess it's too logical. But I mean, like, I don't even know who I'm trying to think of now, but
Hugh Freeze was there, and then Gus was there, and I'm just thinking that the Boise State coach was there. I'm just thinking some point Rhett's sort of like next in line for that job. But, it's funny. I was watching Tombstone, and I'm going to get some clips from that for the soundboard next, I'm hoping. That'll be fun. In fact, it was my wife's idea. I can't believe how dumb I am. I've been trying to get her to watch it. We were watching it together, and at dinner last night, she says, "So how come you don't have any audio clips from Tombstone on your soundboard?" And I went, "Oh my goodness, I don't." So that's next. After now that I've finally got,
what the hell is the world coming to?
I had to get that movie on there. But next up is Tombstone. But anyway, I kind of went from that to Wyatt Earp, the horrible Kevin Costner knockoff. And there's a great bit I need to get for when we talk about Arkansas if they fire Bielema or if Arkansas State big. There's a great clip I caught. I noticed last night when I was watching it where Gene Hackman says to Kevin Costner, basically he says, "Get the hell out of Arkansas and never come back." And I'm thinking, there's going to be a day when they say that to Bert, and I want to have that ready. I want to have it ready on the board when he says that. So, yeah, so what do you think the odds are that we retain Lashley as offensive coordinator for another year versus him going somewhere else, or they have some secret plan to replace him?
I think the odds that he is the Auburn offensive coordinator next season are like 98%.
Yeah, I agree. I do have, there is that theory rolling around that they'll ship him off somewhere else. He'll be like the next head coach at Nome, Alaska University or something. And it's kind of like in the military when you get sent to the to the Arctic research base, and you spend 2 years in northern Alaska or Antarctica. But the rumor is that he would be replaced by, if not Art Briles himself, Briles' son. What do you make of that? I'm just curious.
Well, it's not even an option now because Briles' son is going to work for Lane Kiffin.
Oh, down in at
Florida Atlantic. Yeah. So Kendall Briles, the Briles' son, is off the table. He's going to work for Lane Kiffin as offensive coordinator at Florida Atlantic. Okay. So, and Art Briles is not going to get a coaching job, an assistant job or a head coaching job. And I mean, additionally, all the other baggage he has, and we had a Lost podcast early in the season where I went on like a 6-minute rant about why Art Briles was never going to get hired again. And the bottom line is this, like, he's to the point where he's suing the university. So while he's involved in that and with all this other stuff hanging up, he's not going to get a job. He's just not. And I don't want him anywhere near Auburn. I don't care what his offensive credentials are. So, so if Lashley leaves, then Kendall Briles is no longer an option. You have to look around again. So that's why at this point, I'm kind of hoping that he doesn't leave. So we're not looking around. But again, I think a year from now, we'll be in a different situation than Lashley. Again, a year from now, you know, with all the offensive talent we have coming back, the offense could be great next year, and Lashley will be like the hot name among assistants nationally. So I could really see that happening.
If for once in our entire history, everything goes the way it's supposed to go. For once, ever.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying the team's going to win the national title next year, but I'm saying we have a lot of talent on offense coming back and continuity in the offensive coaching staff. I think the offense is going to be really good.
Yeah.
We do have a coaching vacancy, though. We have McGriff, the crime dog, has gone to Ole Miss as defensive coordinator, and you can't blame him for that. And we have not replaced him, and the plan is not to replace him until after the bowl game. I've heard some talk there. You know, everybody immediately wants to think about people that are connected to Auburn or connected to Gus, but I think the key person in this is Kevin Steele. And he, you know, because this person has to work in his system and work with him personally. And Steele's been a defensive coordinator a long time and knows a lot of people. So I suspect that he's going to hire somebody that he has worked with directly or indirectly, who has good, you know, reports on, and feels would fit well with his system. So,
right. Yeah. That's a good point. Is he's, you got to think he's going to have a lot of input into it. I would certainly think so. So,
yeah.
So we're coming up on the Sugar Bowl. We've had a long layoff since the Iron Bowl ended. And we're going to be rolling in to play Oklahoma on Monday. So how do you feel about what's been your sense? What has been your impression of how the team is shaping up and looks right now?
I think the team – I'm very happy with how the team is shaping up and looks. I mean, again, at the end of the season, we had no idea whether Sean White was going to be even play in this game. Mm-hmm. And because he didn't play against Alabama, we didn't know whether he was going to be available. And he's been practicing well, and all reports are he's 100%. Petway's 100%. Kerryon Johnson's 100%. Josh Holsey's back. So I think, you know, the team is as healthy as it's been since midseason. So I think, you know, we're healthier than it's been maybe at any time since early in the season. So I think that part gives me a lot of confidence, a really good feeling about the bowl game. Now, the other part is Oklahoma's really good. I mean, I've spent a lot of time reading about them and looking at their stats and watching highlights of their games against other teams. And offensively, they're great. They are really, really, really talented. I mean, we're going to have to play our best defensive game of the year. And even then, we're still going to have to score some points to beat them because their offense is excellent. But I feel good about it. I think the other thing is you always wonder about in bowl games is motivation. Mm-hmm. You know, which team wants to be there, which team cares more, which team wants to, you know, practice really hard and win. And I think Auburn, you know, wants to show people that the team that was there at the end of the year against Georgia and Alabama isn't who they really are. That was a result of guys being banged up, and that when the team is 100%, they can go out against a highly ranked national opponent and play a great game. And it's also like the last game for guys like Carl Lawson, Montrevious Adams, and guys like that. And so I think they're going to want to go out on a high note, and they're not going to be like just coasting into this. They're going to want to go out there and put out one last highlight reel to help Auburn win and to help them get, you know, drafted more highly. Absolutely. You know, put their names on everybody's tongue headed into the NFL draft. So I think there's a lot of reasons to feel good about it. I think, you know, Auburn's offense was in a bad place at the end of the year with the injuries. But I think, you know, having Petway back 100% is the foundation of the offense working well. And, you know, with he and Kerryon both healthy and a lot of time to practice, I think the running game is going to, you know, be very strong like it was in the middle of the season. And I think Sean White being healthy and having time to practice to get back his timing at the receivers, that the passing game could pick it up. Oklahoma is terrible against the pass. And a lot of that is the Big 12. There's a lot of good passing offenses out there, but they're like 115th in the country or something at pass defense. So wow. They're bad against the run. I mean, they're like Mississippi State, you know, against the run. So we ought to be able to run all over them. But at the same time, once we get the run going, then I expect, you know, on that indoor dry turf, I expect Sean White and the receivers to have a big game, and we're going to need him to have a big game because I think Oklahoma is going to put up some points on us.
They have a dangerous offense. Their passing game obviously is Heisman finalist quality. And their running game will just punch you in the face and knock you out.
Well, and that's it. And the big thing for Auburn is don't let them be multidimensional. We have to take the running game away and make them just a passing team. If they can run and pass on you, then you have real problems because, you know, it's their offense can just light you up. They have two really good backs, Mixon and Piran. And Piran's a bigger guy, a more physical guy. Mixon's a smaller, faster guy. But if they can
– He's small and fast, but he can still punch you in the face and knock you out.
All right. I was trying to stay away from that stuff.
You're not taking the – I'm dangling the bait, and you're not taking it. it's frustrating.
I know. But, I mean, they're – you know, ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. Oh, that's great. That helped. All right. There we go.
I think America is going to be cheering for Auburn in this game.
Yeah.
Okay. Oklahoma has become the team of villains. Okay. Mm-hmm. With, you know, the players they bring in and the way they've, you know, allowed these guys with all this assault charges to play and stuff. They've kind of become the black hats. And so Auburn will have America cheering for them this game. And I think, you know, it's not a bad thing either. So.
America's team, the Auburn Tigers. Two things I never thought I'd hear put together.
That's not going to happen all the time. No. But in this game, I think Auburn is going to be the America's team. So
I've never understood why we're like one of the most hated teams in the country. I mean, we're sweet little cute little Auburn with Aubie bouncing around in our nice bright orange and blue, and we're, you know, and yet people don't like us, and I don't understand it. But anyway, then of course there's Auburn Twitter, which then I totally understand it. But that's a whole other thing. I just alienated like 2/3 of our audience, so I should stop. Sorry, 2/3 of our audience. Sorry, just the ones I block, not the rest of you. Love y'all.
I think the big thing for Auburn is, I mean, Oklahoma is. From watching them and from reading about them, they're smaller on defense and lighter weight than a lot of SEC defenses because they have to be to play the Big 12 offenses they play. So they don't have the beef on defense that a team like LSU or Alabama or Georgia has. So I think Auburn, you know, if we get the running game going, we'll be able to overpower them a little bit and put up some big time runs. And you know, once Petway gets going, we bring in Kerryon as kind of the change of pace back. And to me, like, less of Kerryon is more. Like, I think the one play I always think about with Kerryon Johnson is that play early in the season when he, like, reversed field.
Yeah.
I think it was Arkansas State. He was, like, against the sideline, and there were, like, three defenders there, and he reversed field and went all the way across and scored, like, a 60-yard touchdown.
Yep.
And that is Kerryon Johnson at 100% health. That's the kind of play he can make. And so I think him being healthy and touching the ball like, you know, 15 times with like, you know, 8 runs and 7 passes or something, receptions, he could be a guy like on those little swing passes that can make the home run kind of play. And I think, you know, with Petway kind of pounding the defense and getting them on their heels, bringing him in to kind of exploit it when they're tired, it could be huge. So I really like that. And they're not good at pass defense. I think, you know, Sean White's healthy again, and I think he and the receivers can have a big game. Stopping them, the big thing I think about is from watching a lot of their games, like Mayfield is really good at not running, mm-hmm. but – and he could do a little bit of that. But shifting around in the pocket, like a few steps to the left or the right to keep – when the defense is rushing, just to keep everybody off balance, mm-hmm. and to gain some extra time to throw the ball downfield, that's when they're really dangerous. You know, when like he starts – the pass rush is coming in, the play's been going on, and he just kind of breaks away and rolls to the side for a few seconds. And you have to cover the receiver sometimes for a long time because of that.
That's right.
And so that's where I think like the defensive line – Lawson and Adams, I think Marlon Davidson and Jeff Holland and Dontavious Russell and those kind of guys, they, again, are going to have a big game stopping the run and making Oklahoma one-dimensional and then getting to Mayfield and not letting him, you know, run around and make a bunch of broken field plays, throwing the ball downfield and stuff, because that's where they can really, really make big plays.
You know, I did notice that about Mayfield when I was breaking down film of the Oklahoma Baylor game last year. Because, you know, John, and that is something I do there, John, is when I'm not working at the bowling alley, I'm breaking down film. And while my wife is out going to prayer meetings with this big fella she met last week, that he takes her to the prayer meetings for 3 or 4 hours at a time at a local hotel, I'm breaking down film, John. That's what I do.
Okay. So,
some of our listeners will get that. We didn't talk about recruiting.
No.
What's been happening? I know there are a couple of things. Well, I mean, I know we got a really fast receiver to go along with Stidham. That should be fun. And I feel like we got a defensive lineman because we're going to need to replenish the defensive line once, you know, these guys start leaving.
We got a defensive lineman commit, Alec Jackson. And I mean, the big our number one recruit out there is Calvin Ashley, who's an offensive tackle. And there were some worries that he was looking at other schools, but he came out at the Under Armour All-America game stuff and said he's 100% to Auburn. And he's very excited. So
he's not going to Maryland. He's not that stupid. Come on, Maryland.
You know, people want to say what they want to say. So
Maryland. I mean, I know he lives up there in that area, but you know, and by the way, that's not too far from you. So if you want to drive by and like yell out the window of your car as you drive by his house, War Eagle Calvin, that would probably not be a bad thing. But I mean, come on, he was flirting momentarily with Maryland. I guess he's attracted to teams that do crazy, wacky, experimental things with their uniforms and helmets, like Maryland and, you know, Auburn. It's like the two polar opposites, basically. You know, by the way, this is a total tangent, but I wanted to ask you about this, and I forgot. This is that just came to me. I was thinking the other day, of the 14 teams in the SEC, just about every other team except us has changed their uniform and or helmet at least once. And I can't think of hardly any, you know, there's only two times I can think of us changing our, well, three, I mean, in 1984, we changed to a gray face mask from the orange. And I know that in the 90s with Terry Bowden, we had the orange drop shadows for like a year or two. I know there was one game under Chizik that we used a slightly bigger AU on the helmet, but that was like a tiny game against, you know, Middle Tennessee or somebody. Other than those three instances, I can't think of us drastically, you know, maybe there's little detail changes like a stripe curves or something like that. But I mean, in terms of the look of our uniforms, I can't remember us ever changing anything other than those three things. Whereas every other SEC team just about has done drastic changes. Now you say, what about Alabama? Well, Ray Perkins in the 80s had Alabama wear white helmets for a while. People don't remember that, but Alabama wore white helmets for a while under Ray Perkins. And that's a pretty dramatic change for Alabama. And it's certainly more dramatic than anything we have done. So, sorry, Alabama, you're out. So, I mean, Florida, you know, they wholesale go blue, orange, orange and white, orange and blue all the time. Tennessee's done their gray stuff. It's bizarre. South Carolina's changed all around. I can't think of any team. Vanderbilt changes their helmet every week, it seems like. I mean, can you think of any other program? I mean, remember Georgia wore the Power Rangers outfit against Boise State a couple of years ago?
Sure.
So, I mean, can you think of any other program that's been more conservative that's changed their uniform less than us?
Again, like, the only school that's close is Alabama. And like you were saying, like, their white helmet thing was like our orange face mask thing. It was a weird 80s thing, but no, I mean, Auburn doesn't change the uniform, and we don't need to.
Yeah, the last time we really did that was in the 70s with Barfield with the orange jerseys. My beloved Barfields. I miss the Barfields. I wish they'd roll the Barfields out just one more time, but alas, no. But yeah, it's just is interesting to me that I can't think of any other program that's changed less than maybe LSU, right? Because I mean LSU's whole thing about changing to white jerseys, but that was their thing, though.
No,
I mean, that,
no, they put out weird stuff.
Okay,
they wear this gold uniforms this year.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, LSU, sorry, you lose. All right, so I guess it is us. Maybe our listeners will think of something that we're missing. So any other thing on recruiting? Sorry, that just occurred to me, and I wanted to ask you about it.
No, we need a couple more defensive linemen, but there's some ones out there we're going after. This staff has done a good job the last year or two of closing well.
Yeah.
And so that'd be interesting to see how that goes. But, I mean, again, like, we got our big quarterback recruit already. So it's all kind of downhill after that. I mean, there's a lot of guys in this class we need that, you know, at other positions. Again, Calvin Ashley, because we need offensive tackles. Well, but
that's what I'm saying. This looks to be a really good offensive line class, just like last year was a good receiving class and defensive line class.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got Brahms and Ashley, and there's a couple more, Troxel, right? And
yeah.
Looks like a good offensive line class coming in if everything holds.
Well, and we need that, and I think offensive linemen look at this team and want to play for Auburn. They like,
yeah, why wouldn't you?
They know they can make the NFL and that they're going to, you know, be out there, and then they're going to get good coaching and go crush people. So
got a couple of decent sounding running backs coming in too, which is something we need. We need to replenish the running back stable. Had so much mm-hmm. turnover there, so
we're going to have ridiculous running back depth. So.
Yeah, that's very good. Who would have thought that after about 3 months ago, right, when we were hoping that we had any. By the way, Mira was flipping around YouTube yesterday, as she likes to do, and she noticed – she went by the AU Wishbone page. And basically, in Mira's world, your worth and value as a human being is based on how many subscribers you have on YouTube. So she worships Dan TDM. She just thinks he's awesome. And that's the guy that does the Minecraft videos. And he has like 8 bajillion subscribers and all. Well, Mira was like, "Daddy, I don't believe it." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "You have 115 subscribers on YouTube." And so she is just like in awe of us now having 115 subscribers. The funny thing is we haven't put a video out in months.
Uh-uh.
I guess we need to do a special maybe season wrap up after the bowl game video and keep the YouTube channel alive. And I guess we could make it a video only and just direct people to YouTube or something. So that way the audio won't be bad. Because that was what ended up moving us away from video, which is our audio was so bad that we have a lot more listeners than watchers, and the listeners just didn't want to have to put up with all the garbage on the audio, you know.
That's right.
As opposed to our usual garbage on the audio. All right. Well, we have a special guest today. This is a rare daytime show for us. We are recording at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning on the 28th, since we're out for the holiday break here. But we have a special visit. You may remember from the past that we've had him on, and we were getting a lot of reviews. By the way, please go to iTunes and leave us a review or a rating. Just go and slap us 5 gold stars down there. It helps the show be visible in the search and get more listeners and keep us going. But a lot of people were saying that they liked the occasional visits from this guy. So without further ado, we welcome back aboard Coach Snyder. Welcome back aboard, Coach. It's good to be here. Hello, Mr. Ringer.
Coach.
It's been a long time since you fellas have invited me on your program. You still send this thing out over the telegraph?
We do, Coach. We transcribe it and then deliver it by Pony Express.
Excellent. Very modern. Very, very clever. So, I have to tell you, young Mr. Ringer, I'm concerned about our recent presidential election. It has me a little worried. Yes, what? I'm concerned. I'm not sure Mr. Lincoln can hold the Union together. What, for crying out loud, what if the rebels fire on Fort Sumter? Can you imagine? My heavens. But we'll see.
Okay, Coach. That's a worry for all of us.
Yep. Well. But today, you know, usually I bring letters to the players, but today I thought I'd bring what I call some extemporaneous thoughts for some of the bright young coaches in the SEC. So here are my extemporaneous, that's a $15 word I picked up in Kansas City, extemporaneous thoughts for some of the bright young coaches of the SEC. For Georgia. Georgia, you have a young up-and-coming coach who's just taken over recently. And I'm sure that Coach Dooley will do fine in the years to come. Coach Dooley, I recommend that you look into a young man named Herschel. I've heard he's promising and could deliver good returns in the seasons to come. There, between the hedges. Stop my music up again, whippersnapper. Ah, that's better. Now, Tennessee. Tennessee didn't quite have the season they were hoping for this year. I suspect it's because their coach, General Neyland, might be worried he'd be called back to the Eastern Front to fight the Huns again. Now, Coach Neyland, I know that you have all these distractions on you, but the Huns can wait. You have to win for the Volunteers. And then take that bright orange over there, because you'll blind the Germans and they won't be able to shoot. To Texas A&M and their honest, upright, forthright young coach, Jackie Sherrill. Honest as the day is long, I know. Never a crooked bone in his body, Jackie Sherrill. I'm sure, Coach Sherrill, that if you endeavor to work hard and persevere, next year your Collie Dogs can win the Southwestern Conference and make it back to the Cotton Bowl.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You have a game tonight against Texas A&M. How do you feel about that?
Oh, we play Coach Sherrill tonight. Well, I understand that Coach Sherrill likes to run the ball, but his quarterback's been hurt. So what you tell me, son, what should I expect from these Texas Aggies tonight? I don't know the Southwestern Conference very well.
I think it'll be a good game, Coach.
Cue up my music again, young whoopers. Thank you. Go ahead.
I think it'll be a good game, Coach. I think you got to watch out for them throwing the ball.
Good heavens, I better get back over to the stadium. I didn't realize we were playing today. Well, finally, I know you fellas like to talk about Auburn, the Auburn Tigers, the War Eagles. And I know that your team keeps innovating and moving into the future. You have that super fast offense of young Coach Jordan. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's Coach Malzahn. I'm not completely in the past. You have that super fast offense, yes? It just is faster than any offense in the country. Is that correct?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, I know that Coach Malzahn is always pushing the envelope, moving into the future. You'd never see any veer or single wing nonsense in any game Coach Malzahn coaches, would you?
You might.
Well, that's good. I know you're gonna enjoy seeing his offense for many years to come with that young mastermind Rhett Lashley designing it and calling the plays. So, and I'm sure the entire Auburn family is united in supporting their young, up and coming offensive coordinator Lashley. So, all right, that'll do it for this week. If any listeners out there have any questions, tie them to the tail of a pigeon and send them into these fellas, or telegraph them, and they'll be sure to get them to me for some future episode. Goodbye.
Good night. Shut that music off. Shut it off.
Thank you, Coach Schneider.
There he goes. He has left the building. Seemed kind of grouchy this morning. I think we got him up kind of early. He didn't know he had a game today. That's funny. That may be a clue on who to bet on tonight.
Do you have a breaking news sound effect?
Breaking news.
UConn has hired a head coach as we record, and it is
Rhett Lashley.
Randy Edsall.
Isn't that the coach that was there and then quit?
Yes. He left to go to Maryland, and it was fired from Maryland. They hired him back. The glory days of Randy Edsall back at UConn.
This is like the Petrino to Louisville. Wow. Did Edsall have a motorcycle accident with his mistress?
Except way more boring.
Yeah,
He is the like generic vanilla ice cream of coaches.
Well, but the thing is, he was actually successful there.
He was. He took him to Fiesta Bowl.
Good gosh. Wow. They've gone from the Fiesta Bowl to losing to Auburn in basketball. Oh, UConn. UConn. How you have fallen. You used to be a suburb of New York City. Now you're that wilderness surrounding ESPN headquarters. UConn. Well, I think, John,
it's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
We're using the new Bluetooth speaker now. I still want to get the actual integrated soundboard working again, but Skype doesn't want me to do that, it seems like. So, but we do have a better sounding external speaker now that I just have to wave around in front of the microphone. So, all right, we should have some listener questions. What we got coming up?
Are you ready? First question from Pat Ringer.
Oh, I've heard of him. He says,
he says, you can only pick one, a Sugar Bowl win or a Sweet 16 appearance by men's basketball. What do you pick?
Sugar Bowl win. That was easy. Wow. Moving on.
Okay.
What do you say?
I mean, I'd say Sugar Bowl win, but I do love this men's basketball team. I mean, I think they are, you know, we're at the stage we have an incredibly rare problem for Auburn. We have too many good players almost. And so I think they're having a hard time. Everybody, they're not solid in their roles and rotations and who should do it. But also the other part of that is, you know, guys have a bad game. There's other guys there who could pick it up. So like the other day they beat UConn. Purifoy had a terrible offensive game other than that one big three-pointer at the end, but Harper had a great game. So anyhow, I'm very excited about the basketball team, and I'm going to be greedy and say both. How about that?
Well, two things now. One is, yeah, we have a bunch of talented players, but they all seem to be like the same guy, and they all want to fire up three-pointers. It seems like we don't have anybody down in the blocks. I mean, Wiley is about as close as we've got, really, it seems like now, to a bigger guy down inside. And so without that inside presence so far, they've just been a team that either goes on a streak and hits 21 three-pointers or goes on a streak and misses, you know, 14 three-pointers. Well,
they do shoot way too quickly for me sometimes. Oh,
golly,
my gosh.
No
that
kidding.
Drives me crazy.
The offense is the chuck and duck, man. It's just, you know, down the court and woo, bonk. But when it's on, it's on.
But it's also like at some level it's working. I mean, we beat Oklahoma and UConn in basketball, which is, you know, from where we've been is amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
well, here's the thing. I'm going to rephrase Pat's question, and I want you to answer it. Okay, how deep into the tournament would the basketball team have to go before you'd take that over the Sugar Bowl win? In other words, if we said a Sugar Bowl win over the Sweet 16, what if I said, all right, the Elite Eight? You still take a Sugar Bowl win, or you take the Elite Eight?
I think I'd take the Elite Eight.
I'd still take a Sugar Bowl win.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I want to beat Oklahoma. We'll get into this, but
Now you ask me a Final Four or Sugar Bowl win, and now I'm like, yeah.
Gotta say Final Four. You have to. We've never been there.
Yeah, but I have an agenda, John.
All right.
I have an agenda. I want Gus to stay forever and be successful, and losing the Oklahoma and the Sugar Bowl does not play into my agenda. Do you not understand that?
I understand that.
All right. National championship win in basketball is maybe the one I would take that.
Dude, over Sugar Bowl win. That is
I would take that. I had to think about it for a second.
Win the lottery or Oklahoma? You know, it's like we're into that territory now.
How much in the lottery? How much?
Okay. All right. Next question comes from Wynn Carroll, who says, with the Under Armour All-American game right around the corner, which Auburn potential or actual commit are you most excited to see?
Well, I mean, the quarterback, obviously, but...
Yeah, take Stidham out of it.
Yeah. I mean, well, the unequivocal five star is Calvin Ashley, but offensive linemen are kind of boring until they really get the running game rolling. So
yes,
then all of a sudden they're rock stars. But
I mean, I think to me the tight end is in the same way. Canella, the junior college tight end we signed, we could take him. I mean, I'm excited to see him because we haven't had a receiving tight end who could make a big impact since Lutzenkirk. And so I'm excited about that, but
we've got the axis of tight ends. We've got the German, and now we've got the Italian. I guess next we'll have a Japanese tight end, just to kind of round out the whole axis.
A lot of the guys that I love in this class, I don't think are going to play immediately, but I mean, I love like Kenny Britt and Tadarian Moultrie. I love the linebackers in this class. Yeah, I think they're the foundation of the future of this defense.
Yeah.
Those are guys I'm excited about. But in terms of like instant impact, the other guy I would really look at is Octavius Matthews, who's a junior college guy who's kind of a slot receiver, running back kind of guy. Really, really explosive player with the ball in his hands. Yeah. And I think he could be another, X factor on offense next year to be another big play guy. So I like him. Go watch his highlights. He's exciting.
Well, the thing is that our players need to kind of be around a year or two before they really get worked into the offense for the most part. And so who I'm really looking forward to seeing on offense next year, aside from the quarterback, I'm looking forward to seeing how these young receivers all step up, particularly Stove, how he was, he got a lot of touches there for a true freshman. And I'm curious to see how Cam Martin at running back in his second year, after he's bulked up a little bit and been in the weight room and all that. I think he showed flashes of excitement there too. So that's going to be cool.
Auburn for Life asks, who on earth would Gus hire if Rhett went to go to another school?
Yeah, we talked about one.
And honestly, the answer is I don't know. I mean, we talked about the, Herb Hand being OC scenario.
It's hard because his offense is kind of unique and tailored to him. And so his offensive coordinator has to be somebody that knows his system rather than somebody that brings a system in. It's not like Tuberville bringing in different guys to run different offenses, and Tuberville's like, all right, well, what are you going to run? This is more like, who can he bring in to do that job? And I've been telling you all along, by the time Rhett leaves, it's going to be Cody Burns. I know you don't believe me, but in 2 or 3 years, that's who's going to know the offense well enough.
But if Rhett left now, Cody Burns isn't ready to do the job. So let's say Rhett left tomorrow. I think it's a different equation.
Half of the Auburn fan base just went. we're not exactly going out and hiring fired alcoholic Pac-12 head coaches as our, womanizing head coaches as our to stock the shelves of potential future offensive coordinators like some programs. So I don't really know. I don't know where you go. He'll come up with somebody though.
Yeah. All right. Josh Corbett asks, what is the biggest one key to beating Oklahoma?
I think for me, the biggest one key is that they're going to score points and we have to get our offense going. If Sean has any lingering ill effects of his injury and they've just been smoking us, BSing us, if Petway is still tentative, if we cannot keep up on offense, then we become an unarmed opponent and we're bringing a knife to a gunfight.
No, you're right. I've seen some people say, we should try to control the clock and run I think we need to come out and attack on offense. Yes. Like we need to get the ball and say, we're not here to run clock and keep Oklahoma off the field. We're here to score points. And we don't want to try to get in a shootout with them, but we need to be prepared if it turns into a shootout to have our offense go full throttle and score 40 points if we need to.
Absolutely.
Jared Albrecht asked a different kind of question. He says, Who would win a fight between you and Van, prison rules combat?
Oh, John would kill me.
I'm a much bigger guy than Van is. I have the reach too, so.
Yeah. And John is about 6 months younger than me, so I'm elderly and I wouldn't ever get into such a fight. But I'm wily, see, and I'm smart enough to know not to get in a fight with John.
Van's scrappy. I don't want any part of that. All right. That's it for listener questions.
Hey, I got to point out, we are reformatting and reshuffling the deck. It doesn't have as much of an impact on AU Wishbone, but on our other shows on this network, we're as of January 1st, we are no longer going to have discrete separate shows. The AU Wishbone will still be its own thing, but it still counts as part of the White Rocket Entertainment Network, and that's why this was episode 243 of the overall network. But we're going to combine streams on the other programs and have the White Rocket Entertainment Podcast Network. And so if you subscribe there, you'll be able to hear the White Rocket Podcast where John and I or some other guest and I talk about pop culture. But you're also going to have the Formula One show, a very occasional, about every 2 or 3 months maybe. Maybe have Alan Porter come back on too, because I thought lent a lot to that. And we're going to have next summer, the Avengers Assemble podcast will be coming over from its feed to be part of the White Rocket Entertainment Network. That's the show that I already do about the Avengers movies and comics and stuff. Also, John, we got a new show coming into the network called Comics with Normies that Jared, we just had his question, will be hosting, where like every episode he's going to like sit down with a person that doesn't read comics and they're going to read a comic and talk about it and what their reaction was to it. That should be pretty entertaining because Jared's pretty funny. And then lastly, we're breaking off the James Bond aspect of our White Rocket show to just have a James Bond White Rocket podcast. So basically the only thing that'll change is that you'll get all these shows in one feed when you subscribe, and you can just ignore the ones or delete the ones you don't want to hear, but it'll save our network a whole lot of money on setting up all the different channels, and it brings everything into one place. So I'm pretty excited about it. And we're going to have Jared on as kind of our regular co-host on the Bond stuff with you and me, and he'll have his own show and all that. So I'm looking forward to 2017 and the continued growth of White Rocket Entertainment.
Fun.
Yeah. Let's see, last couple of things here, right?
Yep.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
Ooh, gotta work on it's kind of shrill. Let's see, already we've had a couple, and man, Mississippi's the my favorite bowl game I've watched so far. Believe it or not, was Mississippi State and Miami of Ohio. I mean, that's a strange thing to say, I realize. Did you watch any of that game?
No.
Oh, man. For some reason, it was like a 10 o'clock in the morning game, and I just happened to get up and was puttering around the house, and I turned it on, and it was just starting. And I watched every bit of that game, and it was a great game because Miami knew that Mississippi State should be able to push them around on offense. And so Miami had a really good game plan. And through the whole game, Miami kind of controlled the ball. The only thing that happened to them was they missed an extra. It was special teams did them in. They had an extra point blocked on their first touchdown, so they had six instead of seven. And then they kept Mississippi State off the board forever. I think Mississippi State scored right before halftime to make it like 10-7 or something, or 9-7. And then Miami, I mean, they fought back. They went up 16-10, and at the very end, Mississippi State scored to make it 17-16. Miami got the ball back last minute, drove all the way down to field goal range to make an easy field goal to win, and Mississippi State blocked that too. So Mississippi State special teams won them that bowl. How weird is that?
It is weird.
And I want to say that their quarterback was trying to break Cam Newton's rushing record, and he failed because they hardly ran him. I may be wrong about that, but I think that's right.
The amazing thing to me is that Mississippi State is in the bowl because they're their academics.
Yeah.
Because they were 5-7, and they got it because of their APR score, and now they're 6-7.
I know. Both teams ended up 6-7. They had different records, but at the end, both teams were 6-7. Get this. Miami of Ohio was 0-6. their quarterback went out in the spring, or no, their quarterback went out in fall practice with an ACL, and they started 0-6, and he came back during the season, six games into the season from ACL surgery, and took them to a 6-0 record in a bowl game.
Mm.
And he looked good. I mean, he looked really good in that game. So that's been the most interesting game. Now, I was excited about North Carolina State Vanderbilt, mostly because of Vanderbilt, because as everybody knows, you cannot be excited about North Carolina State. It's impossible.
Would you like to bring back your North Carolina State theory?
North Carolina State is a black hole of football interest. Their mere existence sucks the life and interest out of any football game that they're associated with. In fact, they're North Carolina. They have six syllables in their name, and I dare you to go through all six without snoring at some point. It's like North Carolina. What? Let's state. So I was all excited for Vanderbilt to deliver the beatdown on the black sucking void of football interest. And they didn't. NC State beat their pants off.
There's a larger question here that we're going to, as we go through the rest of the bowl games, I want you to think about, which is how good is the SEC this year?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. That's a legit question because, like I said, it took Mississippi State blocking two kicks to beat Miami of Ohio, 6-6 Miami of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And, yes. I love the SEC, and I'm a giant SEC homer, but I don't think the SEC is nearly as good this year as it has been in years past. Mm. And I think but also there's the motivation thing. Like Vanderbilt beating Tennessee was kind of their Super Bowl, yeah. And it's all downhill after that. Yeah. Everybody's been telling them how happy they are and how great they are. And I don't know how excited Vanderbilt players were about this game. Versus, again, other teams, when they play SEC teams, it's like, I can beat an SEC team. They get fired up for that.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Well, you know, it's funny. I turned on the Vandy game, and it was like in the fourth quarter, and it was like 28-3 NC State. And I went, oh. But then Vandy scored two quick touchdowns. It was like 28-17, and I actually tweeted the comeback is on. It's 28-17. Well, NC State immediately went right back down, scored to make it 35-17, and then on like the last play of the game, they intercepted a pass and scored again to make it 41. So it wasn't quite as much of a beatdown as it looks like, but it was a pretty solid beatdown.
I mean, so, yeah.
That's just two games so far. We've got the SEC really coming up. As we know from Coach Snyder, who just found out a few minutes ago, they play Kansas State plays Texas A&M tonight. I'm looking forward to that one. What do you see there?
Again, my only thought about this game is I don't think it starts till like 9:00.
Yeah.
So you know I'll be falling asleep on the couch watching that game.
Absolutely.
I mean, Kansas State has had terrible quarterback play this year. They were basically playing like a converted tight end quarterback the second half of the season.
That's
and still good. beating good teams. So, wow. You know, I think. A&M's again having their normal offseason issues, bowl issues. They one of their best receivers, I think, has been suspended, and I don't know whether I don't think Trevor Knight's healthy, so they're gonna have to. You know, I'm not sure what the quarterback situation is for going into this game.
So. Well, let's just say if A&M loses to Kansas State, and I don't know about South Carolina or South Florida, but if A&M loses to Kansas State, and if Virginia Tech beats Arkansas. You can start to get concerned about the Sugar Bowl because, like you say, it would say a lot about the SEC. These are matchups that in, quote-unquote, normal years, the SEC should be favored. And if we lose these games, that does not bode well. Georgia TCU, I mean, Georgia, as struggling as they've been, TCU hadn't been a peach either. So if Georgia gets blown out by TCU, it's not good at all. Because remember, they did beat us. As I hate to say. A different Auburn team, but still. Any other games on there that you want to talk about? I mean, Nebraska-Tennessee is an interesting matchup. I'm just not sure this year how good of a matchup that is.
No, I mean it's football. I'll watch it, but I'm blah. I mean I'm going to, of course, very excited about Arkansas Virginia Tech because I have a tie to Virginia Tech now, and I think Virginia Tech's better than them, and they're going to beat them.
Yeah.
And so we honestly were considering going to that game, driving down for the day to Charlotte and going, but it's going to pour down rain, I think, and I'm not going to drive 4 hours and pay $50 to yell at Burt Bielema in the rain. So, but I was going to if the weather is going to be good, believe me. The game that I'm excited about is like LSU Louisville.
Yeah.
So Saturday, that's the appetizer game. You know, that's like the 11 a.m. Eastern game.
Right.
Or, 11 a.m. or noon game. And then the playoffs are like the Alabama games at 3 and then the other games at 7 or 7:30 or whatever. So,
yeah.
I'm excited. LSU, you know, Louisville's quarterback against LSU's defense. That'll be fun.
So. Yeah. At the same time, you could flip over and see the Georgia Tech Kentucky Tax Slayer Bowl, which sounds positively mind-numbing.
Yeah, but again, I mean, I'm in. Kentucky was not bad this year, and Georgia Tech is always fun to watch, so I'm in. I'll watch it. I'll flip back and watch that game for sure. But like Florida, Iowa, I'm guessing that's going to be the only game on Monday during its time slot, but I probably will nap during that game. That's the kind of game fall asleep on the couch while they're punting 20 times.
I got to tell you, if you go to the dentist and you don't want to get a shot of Novocaine or whatever, they can just put the Georgia Tech Kentucky game on and do all kind of dental work on you and you won't even feel it. That's what I'm thinking, but we'll see. A lot of running in that game.
So,
not a lot of passing offense on display in that game, in the Tax Slayer Bowl. That'll be the Pass Slayer Bowl. The Passing Game Slayer Bowl. What do you think about the semifinals?
I mean, we talked about it. I think Alabama's going to beat Washington. Washington has a chance because they have the quarterback and the receivers to throw the ball deep. And they're I love their receivers. John Ross and the other guy are both explosive, big play receivers, like really, really talented guys. And Chris Peterson is an excellent big game coach. He's proved that again and again. So I have a lot of faith that he will come in with a good game plan. What I worry about is the Washington offensive line against the Alabama defensive line. I don't think they can hold up. So I mean, Washington's running back is like, 185 pounds or something. And I think their offensive line is good, but it's not awesome. And so I think they're going to get pushed around and their running back is going to get stuffed and Jake Brandon is going to be running for his life the whole game. So I think they can make plays. I think they will score points against Alabama. I think their defense is going to be okay against Alabama for the most part. They're really good in the secondary. They're really good at tackling in space. And so I think like that kind of Jalen Hurts run around, perimeter kind of stuff that Alabama likes to do, I think they'll do well against that, better than a lot of teams. If Alabama had the Derrick Henry kind of offense, I think they would probably crush Washington with that, but they really don't. I think they may be able to line up and just kind of hammer Washington eventually. But I think Washington's defense will kind of keep them in the game, and they'll make a couple of big plays on passing and kind of hang around. But I think eventually Alabama will pull away because their defensive line will do it. And then, like, Ohio State Clemson, I think, is pretty even. I think the big difference is Deshaun Watson. I think Ohio State's defense is better overall, but I think Deshaun Watson is – the difference in the game. And I think he can make enough plays for Clemson to win.
Well, I look at Alabama and Washington. I really see Oregon and Auburn again. And I agree with you. I think that, remember the difference in the Auburn-Oregon game besides Cam, who didn't have a great game, was that Auburn's lines, were just pushing around Oregon's lines on both sides of the ball. And Clemson-Ohio State, I mean, the thing that surprised me this year is that Clemson's defense hasn't been really as good as we thought it would be. They didn't lose a lot, but yet they seem to have lost a lot. So I don't know what to make of this Ohio State team. They've seemed schizophrenic to me all year. So, that's a toss-up to me.
I mean, they're really, really, really good. And it's Urban Meyer. They're well-coached, and they're going to be prepared to play at a high level. They have some talented skill position guys that are young. But then they have Barrett, who's been around forever. But he hasn't been as good as he was like 2 years ago. He was a Heisman contender as a starting quarterback. Yeah. And this year, he's been really inconsistent throwing the ball. So maybe with this time off in the practice, he can get back to that level. And if he does, then I think they're going to be tough. But we talked about it when we played. I really like Clemson's defensive line. Their defensive tackles are really good. And I think those guys can give Ohio State some problems. This could actually be a lower scoring game. 20-17 in that kind of range. Yeah. With the defense is making a lot of plays and stopping the team from scoring. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, if NC State could push Clemson around the way they did, you got to think Ohio State's got a good shot there. So,
but I mean, part of it is I think Clemson was in a playoff or bust kind of mentality all year. Yeah. Like they really were. Like they saw themselves as we need to get back to play Alabama. And so I think a lot of the, especially early in the season, they were just kind of like coasting to get there. And now that they're there, I think they're going to play more to their potential. That's my expectation.
Yeah. I agree. We'll see, though. Should be fun. We got a lot of football coming up between today and January 2nd.
Yeah.
And then whenever the national championship game is, which I really don't know. I guess it's a week after the...
I think it's a week from...
31st. Something,
yeah.
7th, something like that.
Yep.
Right for my birthday. Okie dokie. Well, I think we're going to wrap up there. A rare daylight coming in my basement windows edition of the AU Wishbone.
Weird.
Yeah, it is. I feel like I should go to bed now. I can't tell you to go to bed. Oh, man. I'll end the show in a different way. Don't forget to check out Decades of Dominance and Season of Our Dreams. And, of course, Lorindo, the awesome book about Coach Lorindo. Lots of those have sold for the holidays. I gotta send a check out to our author and so forth, another month's worth. Good stuff all around. And of course, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes and let people know. We are also on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. And of course, check out the White Rocket Podcast, which soon will be the White Rocket Entertainment Network itself, where we talk about all kinds of fun things. All right, John, let us wrap things up for today, and I guess I'll just say War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right. Good deal. Daytime show. It's not a vampire feeling.
It's so weird to not be doing this late at night.
It is, but we got it done. All right. Go do something productive.
You too, man.
Bye.